Good afternoon, 4:30 and 49 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Courtney Howe.
One big question, I think, after this deal is, will Aetna go and try to buy someone else? Will Humana go and try to buy someone else, or what will they do?
A federal judge has blocked Aetna's attempt to buy out Kentucky-based Humana. Zachary Tracer of Bloomberg News says it's hard to tell what'll happen now.
Moorhead State's Board of Regents has chosen its finalist in the panel search for a new president.
And Kentucky's aging population could spawn revenue troubles for local government.
The Round County boys and girls basketball teams both see action tonight.
But Luke has the stocks.
Cloudy with rain and fog tonight, lows in the 40s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
The group spearheading the initial phases of the search for Moorhead State University's next president has completed its work. The Search and Advisory Screening Committee interviewed five candidates for the post off campus last Thursday and Friday. Board of Regents member Wayne Martin led the committee and says his panel has picked a list of finalists from that group.
It's up to the full Board of Regents and where Chairman Goodpaster takes it. Originally, the time frame indicated that finalists would be brought to campus for community forums. We've stated that, and we did not say how many.
Although Martin says the initial plan called for the Search and Advisory Screening Committee to select 2 to 3 finalists for the MSU president's job, the Board of Regents is expected to name Dr. Wayne Andrews' replacement by late March. Andrews retires June 30th.
There's a new interim president at the University of Louisville. The school's Board of Trustees met Saturday and tapped Dr. Greg Postal to head the school while a search committee is conducted to find a permanent replacement for James Ramsey, who resigned last summer. Postal told reporters after the meeting he's not likely to be a candidate for the presidency on a full-time basis. He's fond of the position he held recently as executive vice president for health affairs.
I like it very much, and my guess is that I'll follow my heart and go back to that.
Postal says it's possible he'll be U of L's interim president for more than a year. Trustees say it's unclear how long it'll take to conduct a search and hire a new administrator.
Ohio University is hiking tuition, housing, and meals for new students entering this fall. The school's Board of Trustees approved the increases Friday. Undergraduate tuition is going up by 3.3%. Housing will rise 3.5%, and culinary services will be 2% higher. In-state students enrolling this fall will pay just over $11,000. Tuition for out-of-state students remains unchanged. OSU's southern campus includes facilities in Ironton and Proctorville.
A federal judge has rejected health insurer Aetna's $34 billion buyout of the Louisville-based health insurance company Humana. U.S. District John Bates agrees with federal regulators who contended that such a combination would hurt competition. Zachary Tracer is with the international news agency Bloomberg and says Aetna says it is considering an appeal.
Aetna has said that they may actually try and appeal this. And then the next issue would be that if this is final, if the deal is blocked, Aetna will owe Humana a $1 billion breakup fee.
The Justice Department sued last summer to block the Aetna-Humana merger.
The head of Kentucky's Health Benefit and Information Exchange Office says the state's transition from Connect to the federal exchange is going smoothly. John Watkins says the switch from the state-run exchange created by former Governor Steve Beshear to the federal program has been underway since November 1st. He says open enrollment concludes March 1st, and he expects about 82,000 Kentuckians will be enrolled at that time. Watkins points out, however, that the cabinet still has regulatory responsibilities for the Affordable Care Act.
The state still maintains responsibilities for outreach, training, and education for people to know where to go. And also, we're still responsible for the regulation of what insurance companies offer on the exchange to Kentuckians.
Watkins testified last week before House and Senate members of the Kentucky General Assembly's Health and Education Committees.
State Senator Stephen Meredith says the additional federal money Kentucky hospitals have received through the Affordable Care Act and the expansion of the Medicaid program may have benefited them in the short term. However, the Grayson County Republican and former administrator of Twin Lakes Regional Medical Center says rural medical centers in the Commonwealth are still struggling to keep their doors open. When the federal funds are gone, says Meredith, it's likely there will be fewer hospitals in Kentucky.
My hospital is the last rural hospital in the state of Kentucky to do obstetrical care. I lost hundreds of thousands of dollars a year on that program. If I'd been a good businessman, I'd said, we eliminate this program. But the reason we did it is because literally people in my county did not have the financial resources to go even 30 miles up the road. Then something would complicate the problem for the whole population of having increased mortality and morbidity for infants and for mothers. And what have we accomplished there?
State and federal officials say the Affordable Care Act has reduced the number of uninsured Kentuckians from more than 14% 4 years ago to less than 6% today. They say one in three Kentucky citizens is enrolled in the Medicaid program.
A pretrial hearing is scheduled next week in Scioto County for a 65-year-old South Webster man charged with murder and stalking. Carl Hayden is held in the Scioto County Jail on a $500,000 bond following his arrest in the shooting death of 25-year-old Amber Piget. Scioto deputies say the Wheelersburg woman was shot several times last week at a home in which there were three small children present, and one of them placed the 911 call. Hayden pleaded innocent to the charges during his arraignment last Friday.
A Floyd County man was arrested on child pornography charges today. According to WYMT, 49-year-old Kenneth Lewis of Prestonsburg was arrested after a search warrant was executed at his home. The arrest comes after a three-week investigation into the online trading of images and videos showing sexual exploitation of children. Lewis is charged with one count of possession or viewing of matter, portraying a sexual performance by a minor, and one count of distribution of matter portraying a sexual performance by a minor. He is lodged at the Floyd County Detention Center.
WSAZ is reporting that Ashland police have arrested a 20-year-old man in connection with an armed robbery at a gas station more than a month ago. Austin Childers is held in the Boyd County Detention Center. He's accused in a December 13th robbery at the Shell station at the junction of 20th Street and Greenup Avenue.
The Moorhead Round County Recreation Committee is figuring out how to use all the information it received during a summer survey of area residents. In the questionnaire, they were asked for their thoughts for how to best enhance the area's recreation programs and facilities. Over 1,700 of them offered their ideas. Jim Tom Trent is Moorhead's mayor.
You know, we've got some things already in the works that were listed on there that are relatively low cost, and we got some other major ticket items. So right now they're inventorying what we have, prioritizing what we need, and then also cross-referencing that with what citizens want.
Trent says the interlocal panel has formed subcommittees to better correlate the information it received in the survey. The group is expected to hold public forums later this year to make sure the recreation plan is on the right track. Once it's finalized, the committee will take it to the Moorhead City Council and Round Fiscal Court to discuss how suggested recreation enhancements might be funded.
Plans to get some repairs done at the Mason County Justice Center are moving slowly. The story from MSPR's Victoria Agee.
The Maysville Ledger Independent says the nearly 18-year-old Justice Center has been plagued with structural problems and has some extensive water damage. A Cincinnati firm provided county officials with thermal imaging for the structure and reported deteriorations of the building's front concrete steps, the wall behind the steps, and its wood columns, along with damage to the roof. Some of the building's insulation was also found to be retaining water, contributing to the issues. The state allotted $830,000 for the repair project as of last year's biennial judiciary budget. Judd's executive Joe Preffer says the county hopes to take bids by late March so work can begin in April. Reporting for MSPR News, I'm Victoria Agee.
Maysville is getting rid of its conference center. Mayor David Cardmill says since the restored Cox Building has taken away much of the business that used to traditionally go to the conference center, the city has decided to sell the facility. Cardmill is confident the conference center will sell quickly, noting the property actually includes two buildings with 8,000 square feet of usable space along with an attached kitchen.
It's just a fantastic venue. OTB was there, the off-track betting. I mean, it's been renovated two or three times since we've owned it. Now it's got a fresh coat of paint on it, and it's, you know, it's just a great downtown venue.
Appraisers have valued Maysville's Conference Center at $225,000. With the city's downtown going through what he calls a renaissance, Cartmill thinks several developers will have an interest in acquiring the property.
The Ohio EPA holds a public meeting next week to discuss a proposed change to the discharge limits for the Wheelersburg Wastewater Treatment Plant. The session is at 6 p.m. Thursday, February 2nd, at the Portsmouth Public Library. EPA says the proposal would permit an increase in the amount of copper that the facility could discharge into the Ohio River. Officials say the application will be explained and comments can be made at the meeting or submitted in writing to the EPA's Permits Processing Unit. The public comment period ends February 9th.
Kentucky's population is getting older at a faster pace than most other states. That's according to an official with the Cabinet for Health and Family Services. Deborah Anderson is commissioner for the Department of Aging and Independent Living.
We are the seventh fastest growing state for aging, and our population increases. Kentucky, for over 60, will grow from roughly 800,000 in 2010 to 1.3 million in 2030.
Anderson says Kentucky needs to prepare now for the retirement of baby boomers. She says that won't just impact the state's health care system, it'll affect overall revenues for state and local governments. When people retire, says Anderson, their incomes usually decline and they don't make as many purchases, so sales tax revenues slide as well.
The chair of the Kentucky House Health and Welfare Committee wants to see a collaborative effort among several state agencies to address the issue of teenage suicide. Republican Adia Wooshner is from Florence.
When we see statistics of the number of young people who have considered suicide and that 11% of them actually reference in making a plan, very concerning.
Wooshner is suggesting the Kentucky Department of Education, the Cabinet for Health and Family Services, and other agencies pool their resources and work on a public awareness campaign about the matter.
Kentucky's senior senator is calling on Democrats in his chamber to speed up the confirmation process for President Trump's cabinet secretaries. The Republican lawmaker and majority leader claims Democrats appear to be dragging their feet on the president's picks, and that's not something his party did 8 years ago.
I'd urge colleagues to remember that we worked with the administration of former President Obama after he was first inaugurated. We confirmed seven members of his cabinet on the day he took office, and nearly the entire cabinet was filled within 2 weeks.
Democrats say the holdup is owing to President Trump's nominees not having completed required ethics reports to the Senate, which President Obama's selections had done.
Kentucky's lieutenant governor is sponsoring a program encouraging entrepreneurial spirit among young people. KNN's Tom Latek has that story.
Lieutenant Governor Jeanine Hampton's Entrepreneurial Challenge is open to every Kentucky student grades 9 through 12 and is like the TV program Shark Tank. Each team is 2 to 4 students and 2 adult mentors. She says they have nearly $100,000 in scholarships up for grabs.
The top 3 teams in the state will split that, including a little bit for the adult mentors, too.
Deadline to file an intent to participate is February 1st. We have a link to more information at KentuckyNewsNetwork.com. I'm Tom Latek.
A community college in Northern Kentucky plans to start offering historic preservation arts courses next month. Gateway Community and Technical College says the community-based non-credit classes will begin February 2nd at the Covington campus. It's part of a pilot program to determine whether there's enough interest for larger initiative in the field. The school is planning 6 courses that focus on different areas, including learning about the basics of historic preservation, planning, and artistic skill. Gateway President Fernando Figuera says students taking the courses will learn important skills while helping to preserve the heart and soul of our community. And now taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, cloudy with a chance of rain showers, patchy fog through the night, lows around 41 degrees, chance of rain is at 40%. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies, patchy valley fog early, highs around 49 degrees. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy skies, Patchy fog in the evening, lows around 39 degrees. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies with a 20% chance of showers in the afternoon, highs around 59 degrees. And taking a look at the current temperatures around the region, Ashland at 48 degrees, Flemingsburg at 49, Inez and Lexington at 48, Winchester 47, and it is 49 degrees in Moorhead.
445, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's great to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, Americans are far more likely to be killed by a vehicle while walking than by many other means, and a new report takes a look at who those victims are and where they live. The report also finds that poor street design may be to blame for so many deaths. Here is the Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyre.
On average, 13 people are killed every day from being hit by a vehicle, and older adults and people of color are most often the victims. A new report, Dangerous by Design, takes a look at pedestrian deaths by city and state. It found between 2005 and 2014, more than 4,600 people were struck and killed by cars while walking. Emiko Atherton of the National Complete Streets Coalition says the way streets are designed is a factor, with many of the deaths occurring on streets with fast-moving cars and poor pedestrian infrastructure. She says lower-income communities tend to have more fatalities.
People of color and older adults are disproportionately represented in pedestrian deaths. For instance, non-white, including Hispanics, account for 34.9% of the national population, but 46.1% of pedestrian deaths.
The report says, with the exception of Delaware, the most dangerous states for pedestrians are all in the South. Kentucky is ranked 21st on the Pedestrian Danger Index, very close to the national average. There were 529 pedestrian deaths in the Bluegrass State from 2005 to 2014. This is the fourth year for the report, but Atherton says it's the first in-depth look at who the victims are. The U.S. Surgeon General has urged Americans to get more physical activity, including encouraging people to walk to school, work, and around their neighborhood. Atherton says there are certain groups who are taking that advice to heart.
And we also are starting to see a great increase in preferences, particularly between millennials, and a desire between adults over 65 and older to walk more.
Traffic crashes were the second leading cause of unintentional injury death in the U.S. between 2011 and 2014. The report says Americans are just over 7 times more likely to die as a pedestrian than from a natural disaster. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
448, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR at 5 o'clock, and Nathan has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 30 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for middle and high school summer camps, including the 34th Annual Advanced Placement Summer Institute, June 26th through the 30th. More information at 270-745-6323 or online at wku.edu/gifted.
All the Vikings are in action tonight. Good afternoon. Reporting from Moorhead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Nathan Gutierrez. To start things off, Rowan County boys and girls basketball teams have games tonight. Coach Sean Thacker's 14-5 boys are on the road for a contest against fellow 16th region contender Wes Carter, which beat the Vikings 80-72 in early December in the EKC tourney.
They've been playing really well of late and scoring a lot of points and those kind of things. They got the two bigs inside, which makes them really good. Dalton Brown's, one of the top guards in our region. So, it'll be an interesting matchup for us.
As for the Lady Vikings, they'll be at Cooper Gym at 7:30, looking to add to their 2-game winning streak as they host 11-5 Estill County.
After a cold start to the season, the Morehead State men's basketball team is heating up, including Saturday's 80-54 win over Eastern Kentucky. The Eagles have won three straight in seven of their last 10. Interim coach Preston Spradlin credits senior Xavier Moon's smooth transition from shooting guard to point guard for much of that success.
He has a great feel for the game, and that's something that you can't really teach. You know, he has an unbelievable feel. He's obviously a gifted scorer. He's a gifted handler and all those things, but he's got a great feel for the game. He's super unselfish. He just enjoys playing with these guys and setting them up and making great plays.
Moon leads the Eagles with averages of nearly 16 points and almost 5 assists a game. At 5-2 in the OVC, MSU plays Thursday at Tennessee Tech. The weekend's 80-54 triumph over rival Eastern Kentucky was significant for Coach Greg Todd and his Morehead State women's basketball team. Not only did it improve the Eagles to 5-2 in the OVC, but it also gave them their 15th overall win, thus clinching Todd's first winning campaign as the team's bench boss. He says that means a lot to him and the once downtrodden Eagle program.
It does. It's really our first one my 3 years, and there's just not been a lot of those. You know, if you walk into a program that's had a plethora of winning seasons, sometimes it's a little easier, but we had to sort of start over, and that does guarantee us a winning season, which is great.
The MSU women are on the Johnson Arena hardwood Wednesday night at 6 o'clock against Tennessee Tech. The Kentucky basketball team returns to the hardwood tomorrow. The 5th-ranked Wildcats will try to add to their 7-game winning streak when they visit Tennessee at 9 p.m. Coach John Calipari says it's critical UK play with a high level of consistency from game to game, or it could find itself on the wrong side of the scoreboard.
It's happening all over college basketball. It is hard to be at your best every game. And if you're not, you get beat. And that's the hardest thing in what we're doing with all these young kids.
It's still not certain if UK will have De'Aaron Fox in the lineup at Tennessee. The point guard remains day-to-day after sustaining an ankle injury in Saturday's win at South Carolina. After dropping a 4-game winning streak against Florida State 73-68 this weekend, Coach Rick Pitino and his Cardinals will look to get a win tomorrow night when they hit the road to visit 12-7 Pittsburgh. The Cards are 16-4 overall and 4-3 in the ACC. Game time is set for 7. After earning the NFC title this weekend with a 44-21 win over Green Bay, the Atlanta Falcons will compete in its first Super Bowl since 1999. Quarterback Matt Ryan, who passed for 392 yards and 4 touchdowns in last night's contest, is proud of the work his teammates put into the season and believes it's all starting to pay off as a unit.
And to string together and to keep guys healthy and to get the opportunity and to be playing your best at the right time, there's a lot of things that have to go into it. And I feel like this team that we've had this year has been the right mix. I mean, we're a team that's gotten better as the year has gone on, offense, defense, special teams. And I feel like we're starting to play our best ball now.
Game time against the Patriots is set for February 5th at 6:30. A member of the Kansas City Royals pitching staff, as well as another former big leaguer, passed away on Sunday. AP correspondent Jack Briggs reports.
Royals pitcher Yordano Ventura, who helped the team to the World Series in 2014 and then again in 2015 when they won it, has died in a car crash in his native Dominican Republic. He was 25. A spokesman for the Highway Patrol says Ventura died on a highway leading to a town about 40 miles northwest of Santo Domingo. In an odd turn of events, former major leaguer Andy Marte died in a separate car crash in the Dominican Republic as well. Marte played in Korea the last 2 seasons. This is Jack Briggs.
And finally, for today in sports, a week from the start of official preseason practices, Coach Mike McGuire believes things are trending up for the Morehead State baseball program. As proof, McGuire points towards the Eagles' 99 wins over the last 3 years and its 2015 OVC championship.
We're very excited from where we're at as a program compared to where we were when I got here. Our last 3 years are the 3 winningest 3-year span in the history of the program, and we're very proud of that. At the same time, we're not satisfied. Our goal is in every year to be in a regional, and anything short of that, we're disappointed in. So I'm very proud of where we're at, but we still got a lot of work to do.
The MSU baseball team's 2017 campaign begins at Jackson State on February 17th. That will conclude your sports report. Reporting from Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Nathan Gutierrez.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Women's basketball will host Tennessee Tech this Wednesday and Murray State on Wednesday, February 1st. Both games are scheduled for a 6 p.m. tip-off. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities fell but closed off of session lows as investors look for more details regarding President Donald Trump's policies. And the Dow did finish with a loss of 27.4 and 19,799.85. The S&P 500 was down 6.11 at 2265.2, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 2.39 at 5552.94. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 15 to 13 in favor of winning stocks over losers. President Trump today signed an executive order announcing his intention to withdraw from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, a trade agreement among 11 other Pacific Rim countries. Trump is also expected to sign another executive order that will put in motion the renegotiation of the North America Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA. In corporate news, earnings season continued as Halliburton and Dow component McDonald's reported quarterly results. McDonald's beat analyst expectations on both the top and bottom lines. Halliburton beat bottom line estimates, but sales came in light of expectations. Yahoo is expected to post results after the close today. And also, U.S. Treasury bond prices rose with the benchmark 10-year note yield falling to 2.4% because as bond prices rise, yields fall, and the 2-year note yield slipped to 1.15%. Gold futures for February delivery rose $10.70, selling at $1,215.60 an ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Home Depot and Cisco, and your worst performers were GE and Merck. In the S&P 500, your best performers were CSX and CF Industries, and the worst performers were Qualcomm and AutoZone. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up $1.01 at $111.01, CSX up $1.66 at $45.99, AEP down 20 cents at $62.71, AK Steel down 22 cents at $9.30, Marathon Petroleum down 4 cents at $48.72, and Kroger was down 55 cents to finish at $33.54. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking one last look at your extended weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, cloudy skies, a chance of rain showers, patchy fog late, and lows around 41 degrees. Chance of rain is at 40%. And tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies, patchy valley fog early, highs around 49 degrees. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy skies with patchy fog early, lows around 39 degrees. Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies with a 20% chance of showers, highs around 59 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy skies with a chance of rain showers in the evening, a slight chance of showers late, lows around 35 degrees. Chance of precipitation is at 30%. On Thursday, cooler, mostly cloudy skies with a 30% chance of snow showers, highs around 39 degrees. Thursday night, mostly cloudy skies with a 20% chance of snow showers, lows around 29 degrees. And Friday, mostly cloudy skies with a 20% chance of snow showers, highs around 35 degrees. And taking a look at the current temperatures around the region, Ashland at 48 degrees, Flemingsburg at 49 degrees, Inez and Lexington coming in at 48 degrees, Winchester at 47, and it is 49 degrees in Moorhead.
And that'll do it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Nathan Gutierrez, Sean Delaney, Ashley Chapman, Kenzie Thompson, and Victoria Agee. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyer, and from the Kentucky News Network, Tom Latek. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Courtney Howell and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.